Side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's day or night, hot flashes due to menopause can be unpredictable. That's why there's Veozah, a prescription treatment proven to reduce the number and severity of hot flashes day and night that can start working in as early as 1 week. Based on clinical studies measuring efficacy at 4 and 12 weeks, individual results may vary. Talk to your healthcare provider about what this may mean for you. For moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms or hot flashes and night sweats due to menopause, Veozah can cause serious side effects, including liver problems. Your doctor will do blood tests before and during treatment. Stop Veozah and call your doctor if you have symptoms of liver problems, such as feeling more tired than usual, decreased appetite, nausea, vomiting, itching, yellowing of the eyes or skin, pale stool, dark urine, or stomach pain. Don't use Veozah if you have cirrhosis, severe kidney problems, kidney failure, or take CYP1A2 inhibitors. Ask your doctor about Veozah. To learn more, call 1-866-239-1637 or go to Veozah.com. That's Veozah.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Senate this hour is taking up one of the votes to help stop the government shutdown. One is a GOP clean 7-week funding bill. The others is a Democratic stopgap measure that would also include restoring Medicaid benefits slashed under the GOP mega bill and extending Affordable Care Act premiums. Neither are expected to pass as parties dig in. At the same time, the White House says it's planning to go beyond the furloughs and issue permanent layoffs to federal workers and cut programs if Democrats don't agree on a funding measure.
We're not going to tolerate waste, fraud, and abuse in our government. And we've also been very clear to point out when agencies or when programs do not align with this administration's values of putting our country first.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. In New York City, the sentencing hearing for Sean Diddy Combs continues. Prosecutors asking a judge for Combs to serve 11 years for his prostitution-related convictions. His defense presenting a video showing the music mogul's career and family life. This is ABC News. A former Des Moines public school superintendent that was taken into custody by ICE agents last week is now facing federal charges, accused of being in the U.S. illegally. And now the Des Moines School Board is filing its own lawsuit against the consulting firm.
Des Moines School Board Chair Jackie Norris says of JG Consulting,
"The firm failed its duty to properly vet candidates. Ian Roberts should have never been presented as a finalist."
And she says, "If we knew what we know now, he would never have been hired." Ian Roberts is accused of lying about receiving his PhD from Morgan State University and his immigration status as well. The Immigration Department says Roberts is a native of Guyana and has been living and working in the United States illegally.
Taxpayer dollars were used, and we are seeking accountability.
Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Apple says it's pulled IceBlock and other apps used to track movements by ICE agents. Attorney General Pam Bondi demanded that move, saying the app put ICE agents in danger. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Think Verizon, the best 5G network, is expensive? Think again. Bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill to a Verizon store, and we'll give you a better deal. Now, what's to do with your unwanted bills? Maybe turn them into paper airplanes headed to see and ever AT&T and T-Mobile. Jokes aside, the best 5G network has you covered with the most ways to save on plans, streaming, and phone deals. So bring in your bill to your local Verizon store, and we'll give you a better deal. Rankings based on RootMetrics True Score report dated 1H2025. Your results may vary. Must provide a postpaid consumer mobile bill dated within the past 45 days. Bill must be in the same name as the person reviewing the deal. Additional terms apply.
With the new IHOP value menu. $6 is all it takes to go to your happy place, where stacks of pancakes with bacon and eggs are just $6 every day. French toast, sausage and eggs are, you guessed it, $6. And fluffy omelets come with a side of pancakes and only cost $6. Go to your happy place every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations. Available every day for a limited time at participating restaurants in the U.S. Hours may vary. No substitutions. Not valid with other discounts or promotions. Prices may vary.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. An important milestone at Wisconsin's troubled youth corrections facilities.
The Wisconsin Department of Corrections announced Thursday as it has reached full compliance with 50 orders placed by the federal government on Lincoln Hills School for Boys and Copper Lake School for Girls. The orders stem from a 2015 raid and investigation at the Lincoln County facilities that showed widespread abuse and lack of supervision. A subsequent judgment against the state resulted in the court orders and $25 million in fines. Governor Tony Evers has made closure of Lincoln Hills Copper Lake one of his top goals since taking office. The process to open a new youth corrections site in southeast Wisconsin continues. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Another confirmed case of bird flu in Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection on Wednesday confirming highly pathogenic avian influenza in a Jefferson County commercial poultry flock. DATCAP and the U.S. Department of Agriculture coordinating a response. The affected area is quarantined and about 520,000 birds will be depopulated, according to a news release. This case follows one reported last week in another Jefferson County flock with about 3 million birds. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Manitowoc County veterans asking for help after being repeatedly having claims denied by the Veterans Administration.
Tyler Ponsloff joined the U.S. Air Force in 2009. During his time in the service, Tyler suffered several injuries to his knees and back, eventually causing his medical discharge in June of 2015. Since then, Tyler has begun dealing with a wide array of issues, leading to him being unable to work. But the VA has been no help.
They have no problem denying our claims because they don't care.
Those who would like to help support Tyler in his financial struggles are encouraged to visit his GoFundMe page. I'm Ryan Braum reporting for the Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Another warm day today in our Real Country 1430 forecast. Plenty of sunshine, highs upper 80s, southwest winds at around 5. Tonight, clear lows upper 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine, highs upper 80s. Sunday, sunshine, highs low 80s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas Boys High School football tonight. The Panthers are at Osseo Fairchild. The AdventHealth Panther preview is at 6:45. Kickoff at 7 o'clock tonight here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at our website.
What a week! We got the quarterly grain stocks and small grain summary on Tuesday and ended the week wondering if we will get the October crop production and supply and demand reports next week. Corn, beans, and wheat futures ended the day lower, with livestock trade pushing to the upside.
Live as the glorious finish line comes within sight via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll have a college roadshow visit with Purdue University, Michael Langemeyer. Michelle Rook will bring us the news. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler. And now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Big Apple Joe. Come on, man. The glorious end in sight? Is that what I heard you say? Something like that?
It just, yes, you did. You did not misinterpret it. It's, I am so glad we are, look at it. The clock is saying, oh, less than 2 hours to go for the day. And in beautiful weather again.
Yes. Oh. Looking forward to that. You got a football game there in town this week?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
Yes, I do. Now, I'm in a climate controlled environment, so it doesn't matter if it's 90 or 30.
Right.
I'm always fairly comfortable doing what I do there.
Well, they at Notre Dame, they know how to treat Big Apple Joe. That's what I like hearing. That's what I'm hearing right there.
It's basically a lot like this. It's just I'm in this room doing my thing.
Very cool. Well, you've done a wonderful job this week filling in for Davis on the opens. Good job. I know it's a little creepy to you, isn't it?
I give myself this week was a solid C, I would say.
Attaboy.
I've had better ones, but man, just you need that creativity. It just wasn't really clicking every day, let's just say.
I thought you were fantastic. Big Apple Joe, thank you for all you do. Keep us on the air and sitting in for Davis. Appreciate it. All right. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Friday afternoon, as we have been talking about. Davis has been on vacation this week. He'll be back with us next week on Monday. So we've asked Michelle Rook to pull double and triple duty this week, and she has done a great job for us. Michelle Rook, markets now on eggweb.com, Egg Day National Reporter, and stand-in extraordinaire here on AgriTalk. Thank you for everything you've done this week, Michelle.
Well, this is easy, Chip. It's when I have to fill in for you. That's the hard part.
Oh, come on. That's cake. That's cake. I know how that goes.
No, because then I have to plan like the whole show. This, I just have to do my small part and then go. But don't let Davis get a big head that it takes two people, both Joe and I, to fill in for him when he's gone. So
don't worry. Don't worry. Controlling the size of Davis's ego is out of all of our controls.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And Joe, no cookie references. So I'll give you a D. So go Lorna Dunes.
That's fair.
Week.
That's fair. Yeah.
Okay. I love it. I love it. All right. Let's go ahead and get to the markets, Michelle.
You bet. Well, the bigger than expected winter wheat crop estimate in Tuesday's annual small grain summary sent wheat futures lower, with follow-through selling on Wednesday that exhausted selling. Wednesday's spike low marked, though, a new five-year low in the wheat futures, triggering profit-taking and short covering. Wheat futures are still clearly in a long-term downtrend, and 3 days up does not change that trend, especially with the funds as short as they are. Export demand for U.S. wheat has been good, and today's lower U.S. dollar added support to wheat prices. December soft red winter wheat futures today opened lower in near session lows and then posted a mid-range close. DEIS HRW wheat futures were 2 cents lower at 497. DEIS SRW wheat futures up a half cent at 515 and a half in December. Spring wheat closed 559 and three quarters, down three quarters of a cent.
You know, it's like we talked about on Wednesday when that market did make the spike to the downside and had a nice upside recovery. Step number one for wheat is to just stop going down.
Stop going down. Exactly.
Yeah. And
but
hopefully,
I think we still had a lower weekly close in all three exchanges, didn't we?
Yes. Yep. On the week, December SRW wheat down 4.5 cents. December HRW wheat down 8.5 cents. And December spring wheat futures down 8 cents on the week. So, but we got the bigger crop estimate than what was expected in that in that annual small grain summary. So I had to factor that in.
Yeah, and some bigger stocks as well than expected. Well, the future of the week for the corn market was the bigger than expected September 1 stocks tally there. Corn closed lower on report day and extended losses Wednesday morning. Then prices started an upside recovery. Now, the bottom line for December corn, according to chart watchers, is the trend has not changed. New crop corn is back pivoting around the 420 level. And December corn today opened lower, rallied to spike resistance at yesterday's highs, and then fell back to close near session lows. Harvest reports will be the feature in the week ahead. And we did see some harvest pressure today, obviously. Mm-hmm. Traders are watching for the federal government to reopen. The timing could still determine if the October crop production and supply and demand reports will be released on Thursday. These corn futures were 2.75 lower at 419. March corn down 2.25 at 435.75.
And on the week, these corn, March corn, both down 3 cents. Did most of the damage today.
Yeah, did most of it going into the close, in fact.
Yep.
Soybean meal futures fell back from mid-morning highs that allowed soybean futures to follow the slide in bean oil prices to the downside. November beans posted an upside reversal on Wednesday and saw impressive follow-through buying on Thursday. Today, front month beans opened lower, rallied to spike resistance at yesterday's highs, and then fell back to close on session lows. The soy complex was force-fed a ration of trade speculation this week that includes President Trump's comments that he plans to meet with Chinese President Xi in 4 weeks, and that soybeans will be a major part of that conversation. November beans were 5.75 lower at 10.18 today. March beans closed at 5.52 1/4, down 4 cents on the day, but I think up for the week.
Yeah, November soybeans on the week up 4.25. January beans on the week up just 4 cents. December bean oil this week was down 14 points. December soybean meal, there's the short covering, up $4.
Yeah, and meal had a nice week, and we needed that for the for sure. Well, most of the damage in the cotton market was done on Monday morning with a downside reversal in December futures. Price action was choppy the remainder of the week, but the trend clearly favors the downside. And DEIS cotton today was 21 points higher at 65.30. As far as cattle, volatility drained out of the live cattle market this week, with December futures consolidating under the 235 level or just under that. Cash trade leading up to today was light and mostly lower. Choice graded box beef prices this morning were also down about $8 from last Friday, and feeder cattle trade was also choppy this week as the market absorbed rumors on trade with Mexico. October live cattle, 50 cents higher though at 230.02 and a half today. October feeders were 287 and a half higher at 357 and a, or 357.17 and a half. October lean hog futures on Monday gapped to new contract highs, and that was the high of the week. In fact, that triggered three consecutive lower closes before front month hogs posted modest gains to end the week. And October hogs, 30 cents higher today at 98.97 and a half.
Excellent. December cotton on the week down 110 points. October live cattle down 77 and a half cents. October feeder cattle up 17 and a half cents. And October lean hogs down 252 and a half on the week. All right, Michael Langemeyer up next here on AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. From farmers' first pass in the field to the final pass at harvest, it's a game plan rooted in faith and belief. See why at BexHybrids.com.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, and every season.
Running a trucking business is hard enough. Don't let compliance paperwork slow you down. At Dakota Group, we make DOT compliance simple and easy. From MCS 150 and UCR filings to strategic advisory services and more, Dakota Group is your trusted partner for comprehensive trucking compliance solutions. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today. Call 844-426-2400 today. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
From raging storms and relentless winds to unforgiving heat, Proven G3 from Pivot Bio just keeps working. Featuring the only gene-edited microbe continuously fixing nitrogen in the presence of synthetic nitrogen, Proven G3's three modes of action, feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential day in and day out. Learn more about Proven G3's durable nitrogen delivery at pivotbio.com.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.19% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk on this Friday afternoon. And this is, we are doing our part to participate in the U.S. Farm Report and the Ag Day TV College Roadshow that is taking place. A big thank you to Bex for sponsoring the efforts to get out to the campuses at the land-grant universities, have a conversation with the students that are there, have a conversation with some of the faculty, the advisors, and get an idea of what's happening on campus out there. So College Roadshow this week was at Purdue, which is giving us an opportunity to have a conversation with Michael Langemeyer. Michael is the director for the Center of Commercial Ag at Purdue University. Michael, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Great.
Great. Good. Glad that you are here. You know, Michael, every month, we have Professor Emeritus, Mr. Jim Mintert, on here to talk about the results of the Ag Economy Barometer. You've been on to talk about the results of the Ag Economy Barometer before. Oh, are we finally getting the fight song? Is that happening?
I can explain why it's delayed, but it would just take more time.
I gotcha. So there it is. We now got the fight song going for Purdue. We've talked about the Center for Commercial Ag as it's related to the barometer before, Michael. But I don't think I've ever had a conversation with either one of you about what is the Center for Commercial Ag there at Purdue University. What is it?
We were formed about 12 years ago in order to ensure our customers, which are really producers and agribusinesses, that we were serious about delivering extension information related to agriculture economics for the foreseeable future. So we thought it'd be easier to generate money from grants and gifts if we had a center, and that has been the case. And so our primary purpose is to deliver outreach material to farmers and agribusiness personnel. We also conduct research in that area, and many of my colleagues are more involved in the research than I am. I'm pretty much 100% outreach.
Gotcha. So in that 100% outreach, what is your goal? What is it that you try to accomplish on an annual basis, Michael?
A couple things that are very important to us. First of all, we want to extend research. And so the research that we're doing here, we try to put out short articles both on our center website, but also FarmDoc Daily. I write for FarmDoc Daily on a monthly basis, usually more frequently than that. So we're extending research, but we're also trying to deliver podcasts, do radio shows, and talk to the farm press related to timely topics, like the Ag Economy Barometer is a good example of that. We don't do as many in-person Outlook meetings as we used to, but we certainly talk about that with farm press, and then also people that call in and talk to us, and also through podcasts.
Yeah, you know, being there in Indiana, I would kind of assume that it's Indiana-specific, but then you've also got the Ag Economy Barometer that is a nationwide survey. It's not just for Indiana, the work that you're doing.
Oh, definitely. And when we developed the center, we wanted to purposely have our information available to the Corn Belt, and then with the Ag Economy Barometer, really to the entire country. And so a lot of the inquiries we get, and people that listen to our podcast are across the Corn Belt, not just Indiana, all the way from Nebraska to Ohio, and then states north and states south of us. And so we have a fairly large reach beyond Indiana.
Yep. Yep. Michael, you and Jim came up with the Ag Economy Barometer. How many years ago now?
10 years this month.
10 years this month. No kidding. Okay. Well, happy anniversary on 10 years this month. Why did you do it?
Well, we were approached by CME Group. They wanted to do something in public relations related to production agriculture, and they were thinking about a producer sentiment index that would be similar to what University of Michigan does for the consumer sentiment index. And so the idea was CME Group when they approached us, we got really excited about this. because I thought this was going to be a big deal for us. And it turned out to be even a bigger deal than we thought. I mean, it's just been incredibly beneficial to us and hopefully to the people that rely on us for information. We've gotten a lot more press, written a lot more articles than we thought we would 10 years ago. And so it's been a great project for us.
Well, Michael, I think part of the reason that it's as popular as it is, and it's part of the reason that I love having you guys on every month to talk about the results and the changes, is because it's measurable. You can wrap your head around an index falling 10 points from last month. You can't really wrap your head around, you know what, farmer attitude soured a bit.
Yes, and also one of the things when we first started this, you know, I worked with Chris Hurt, one of the best crop outlook specialists in the country, and he thought that the index would be primarily driven by corn prices, but it's more complicated than that. Certainly what prices are doing are important, what input costs are doing more important, but sometimes sentiment's driven by, policy uncertainty, but also a policy environment. I think today it's a classic case of that. The ag economy barometer today would not be as high if there wasn't quite a bit of confidence in the long-run policy environment in terms of U.S. agriculture. And I point to questions that we've asked, such as a very general question, do you think U.S. is on the right track? When we ask that question, close to 70% say yes. And so if that 70% was 30%, the ag economy barometer would be substantially lower.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love the timeliness of the questions that you ask and how you make adjustments month to month to keep it real time in the survey work that you're doing, Michael. People know that I really, really enjoy those conversations about the ag economy barometer, but just simply because it helps us. You know what? There's this there's the line out there. You know, come on, read the room. It helps us read the room on what is actually happening out there. So thank you for that work, man.
You bet. And it's always interesting. And one of the things that's really interesting right now is if you think about production agriculture, it includes, of course, crop enterprises and livestock enterprises. And I've never seen this much difference in sentiment between crop producers and livestock producers that we're seeing right now. I've got an article that'll be on our center's website and also Farm Doc Daily today. It probably won't come out till Monday, but it's going to be published with today's date on it, and we look at that, and just like you'd expect, the livestock sector is extremely optimistic, both short term and long term. Crop producers not so much, and we all know that crop producers are facing some very low returns in 25. They were not very good in 24, and it seems like 26 is also going to be relatively low. And so there's reasons why there's a lot of difference in sentiment, but we're measuring it. I mean, we're quick to quantify that large difference in attitude between crop and livestock producers.
Exactly. And I don't know if I've ever seen it wider. And I was thinking about this yesterday on the drive home from the World Dairy Expo, Michael. I don't think I could say that the difference between attitudes in the livestock side and the grain side are as divergent as they have ever been, because if we were looking at the divergence in the past, most likely it was because cattle and hogs and dairy were in the crapper, while corn and row crop was on the upside. So it's a role reversal this time around, which makes it even more difficult to figure out what it means for us going forward.
Definitely the case. And even things when you talk about long-run policy environment, the livestock producers are even more confident that we're on the right track than the crop producers. Both think we're on the right track, but even more so from a livestock standpoint. And of course, one of those reasons why the crop producers are a little less optimistic when you look at the policy environment is the very challenging situation we have with soybeans right now, when we haven't exported near as much as we'd like to export in terms of this current crop.
Yeah, Yep, no doubt. Okay, we're coming up on a hard break. Good grief. I enjoyed that conversation. But, Michael, when we come back, we got to talk a little bit more about the markets. I want to talk about what is going on in D.C. with the government shutdown. You know, it kind of feels like because we were expecting so much from the October crop production and supply and demand report, that if we don't get it, you know, are the markets kind of flying blind in the month ahead? We'll talk about that next with Michael Langemeyer here on AgriTalk.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, in every season.
Tariffs, trade deals, federal budgets, regulations, uncertainty abounds wherever you look. But one thing seems certain. The 2025 corn crop could break records across the United States. Talk with an AgMarket.net hedging strategist today, and we'll help you cut through the noise so you can make informed decisions based on facts. Our experienced team offers farmers and producers commodity brokerage and consulting services. Global perspective, local insight. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures and or options.
Let's head to the markets page at ProFarm.com and recap how the markets closed. December HRW wheat futures, 2 cents lower, 497. December SRW wheat up half a cent to 515 and a quarter. December corn, 2¾ cents lower at 419. March corn down 2¼ cents to 435 and three quarters. November soybeans, 5¾ cents lower, 1018. March beans closed at 1052 and a quarter, down 4 cents. December cotton today, 21 points higher, 6530. October live cattle, 50 cents higher, 231.02 and a half. October feeders, 287 and a half higher at 357.17 and a half. October hogs, 30 cents higher at 98.97 and a half. Get more from Pro Farmer. Just go to tryprofarmer.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durant help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durant location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Another warm day today in our Real Country 1430 forecast. Plenty of sunshine, highs upper 80s, southwest winds at around 5. Tonight, clear lows upper 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine, highs upper 80s. Sunday, sunshine, highs low 80s. Be listening for Durant, Arkansas Boys High School football tonight. The Panthers are at Osseo Fairchild. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 6:45. Kickoff at 7 o'clock tonight here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at our website.
On AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk. All we need is a July.
Welcome back to this College Roadshow edition of AgriTalk. Of course, Ag Day was at Purdue University this week to celebrate what's happening there at Purdue. Learn more about what's happening in the College of Ags. Big thank you to Bex for making that coverage possible. And we're having a conversation with Michael Langemeyer. He is the director of the Center for Commercial Ag there at Purdue University. Michael, give me your thoughts on the government shutdown. What kind of impact do you think it might be having on trade and attitudes in the markets?
I think the biggest issue with the shutdown that, you know, from my standpoint, is we may not have the October crop production report and the October WASDE report. And if there's a month where we really needed to have some information related to how big is the corn crop, it was October. And so maybe it'll be settled here in the next day or so, and we actually have that report. But you know, it's looking doubtful that we'll actually have those reports. And we'd all know that the corn crop is really big. When you plant 99 million acres and you have record yields, you're going to have a big corn crop. But even a slight reduction in yield would be helpful to the market, and so and the same with the soybean crop, and so that, from my standpoint, that's one of the biggest drawbacks of the shutdown, is we just don't have those reports.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of things that's going on in this corn market that's making it difficult to sustain any kind of upside momentum in here. The acres, 99 million planted, 3.5 million more than what we thought back from the June acreage report. And then you get the yield conversation happening in here. 181, nobody wanted to think about that back in May or June, that we could actually do a 181. And then all of a sudden we're getting a 188 from USDA. Now it's backed off from there. And I think the idea is that it's going to continue to back off. But talk about two major headwinds for this corn market to overcome right now, Michael. And then throw on top of it the quarterly grain stocks report that we got on Tuesday with 200 million bushels more than what the trade expected.
Yeah, corn can't seem to catch a break. And one of the things I'm worried about as we move closer to the 26th season is, if we don't start getting some more soybean exports, what's the corn acreage going to be next year? I mean, if we don't see some more corn exports, the soybean prospects are not going to be very good. That's one of the reasons why we have 99 million acres this year, is because we could see last spring that there might be a hiccup with respect to exports for soybeans. If that continues and we have another large corn crop next year, 95 million acres plus, we're looking at a pile of corn, and it's going to take a long time to work through. Demand has been hitting on all cylinders, I will say that. Very strong demand, but you typically see strong demand when you have low corn prices, and so that's not a big surprise. And so I'm not only worried about marketing this 25-26 crop, I'm starting to become a little bit concerned of what that 26 plantings, planted acres, are going to look like if we don't resolve this export issue.
Yep. Okay. Michael, I think you made a very important point, and I want to make sure that people caught it here. 99 million planted this year, and you said, what's acres going to be next year? Could they be 95 million? Acres don't have to go up from this year to be too many acres for this corn market to handle.
Yes, oh, definitely. Even at 93, 95 million acres of corn next year, we'd still have a lot of corn that we need to work through. But when you have this big a supply in 1 year, and you go back to some kind of normal supply, if there is such a thing, it still takes a while to work through that supply. And so, but if you have back-to-back really record corn crops, that's going to take a long time. And of course, what we're talking about here is corn price staying relatively low for the foreseeable future. I was looking at 26. 26 fall 26 futures prices for corn and soybeans, and if you look at futures price. That's what it was earlier today. 460 corn price for December 26. You subtract any normal basis from that, like it's like a quarter here in Indiana is our typical basis. You're still well below break even, and so it just extends this issue we have where break even price is above the corn price.
Yep. You know, as you're having this, as we're having this conversation, Michael, I keep the thought that keeps bouncing into my head is, what if we do get a deal with China? What if China comes in and buys half of what they normally do? That 1.7, or is it 1.65? That low soybean export estimate that we've got for the 25-26 marketing year, I think we're going to have to move that a bit higher. And if we move that export number up at all on an agreement, if there's an agreement, beans will be able to handle some more acres next year, won't they?
Oh, yeah. If we could get some exports, we could get some more exports this year for soybeans. We might look at maybe 92 million acres of corn, 93 million acres of corn, and get the beans up there to 85, 86 million. That's kind of the glass half full strategy, right. And I'm still hoping that's going to happen. We're going to see that, and we see a reduction in corn acres to work through that large supply. We get that demand for soybeans pumping again, so we can plant 85, 86 million acres and market that much. That would be a good scenario to be in. One of the frustrating, and I hate to keep talking about this, one of the frustrating things about the soybean market is we only planted 81 million acres this year, and we still have prices that are only $10. Yeah. And so it would certainly help that prospect, because we're dealing with below average stocks to use for soybeans. So any good news there would increase soybean price and get us a little closer to break even for soybeans, and maybe come up with more balanced acreage when it comes to the 26 plantings.
Right. Michael, I kind of butchered the soybean export numbers here when we were talking about them, so I just want to give people some clarity on that. In the 2024-25 marketing year, we exported 1.875 billion bushels of soybeans. The estimate from the September WASDE, 1.685. So off almost 200 million bushels from where we were a year ago. Man, even if we could get 100 of that back, Michael, that would really be a big boost for that bean market.
Yeah. I did want to talk a little bit about, you know, we've been talking a lot about low crop net returns. And so one of the things I like to talk about in these interviews is financial stress. And one of the bright points, if you will, for agriculture right now is land values have held. And as long as land values hold, both people will have a relatively strong balance sheet. Our debt-to-asset ratio on most farms right now, our leverage position is strong, meaning that we have relatively low leverage ratios, and so we can weather this storm. We just have to get through this large supply of corn, and there is light at the end of the tunnel. But it's just a matter of how long before that light we can actually see that light.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you make a great point, Michael. Agriculture stores its wealth in the ground. As long as we don't see that start to drain out, the banks are going to continue to work with producers. And as long as the banks are working with producers, we can, like you said, we can get to that light that is at the end of the tunnel. If we do wash land values out, and I am not anticipating that, that is not a prediction. But if we do wash it out, then things get dicey here, and they'll get dicey in a hurry.
Oh, they'll get dicey in a big hurry, because if you include 26, you're looking at three straight years of low net returns for crops, and those 3 years are worse than any 3 year period we've seen since it started the ethanol boom in 2007. I mean, 2014 to 2019 was not exactly rosy, but returns didn't get as low as what they have been in 24, 25, and likely to be in 26. And so this is a worse situation than when we were in 2018, 2019.
Yeah, we've got a gap in our cash flow between what is needed and between what producers have gotten what is needed. Do you think the government is going to provide some sort of financial aid to bridge that gap?
Yes. Yes, I do think there will be some kind of trade payment. In fact, there's been a lot of conversation coming out of D.C. Yep. suggesting this. It probably will come fairly soon. But what we really need is two things. We need that cash infusion for trade payments, particularly for soybeans. Yep. There's other crops, too, impacted by trade. But, you know, I follow soybeans and corn. That's the commodities I follow the closest. And so soybeans really could use some of those payments. But the other thing is return to more of a normal set of exports. I mean, we just got to remember when, you know, soybeans, we export 35 to 40% of the crop. And if you export something substantially less than that, you've got a problem. And one of the things that I'm also worried about that this year is how wide the basis is probably going to be, particularly for soybeans in certain parts of the country. If you reduce that export market, there's going to be places in the country that are not do not have the crushing, you know, capacity that Indiana, right. Illinois, Iowa have. They're going to have a very poor basis.
Yep. Yep, that's right. Michael, great conversation. I learned more about the Center for Commercial Ag there at Purdue and about more about what you do and why you do it. Thank you so much for making time for us this afternoon.
No problem. I'm having a lot of fun here.
Excellent. Thank you, Michael. That is Michael Langemeyer. He is the director for the Center of Commercial Ag, Purdue University, of course. That is part of the Farm Journal College Roadshow. Big thanks to Bex for making that happen. I'll be back to put a wrap on this week next.
When the game.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline. So I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now. In every decision, in every season.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us on this Friday afternoon. During the break, I just remembered something. I haven't said anything about this afternoon. But go Cubs, go! Beat the Padres in the wild card. It's now off to Milwaukee for a five-gamer. Best of five against the Brewers, and we'll see how that turns out. Two really, you know what? It's already been two really good pitching staffs up against each other with streaky offenses, okay? The Brewer offense has been more consistent, no question about it. But maybe their pitching staff isn't quite what the Cubs have got. So the Brewers are going to score runs. I know that. The Cubs are going to have to do a better job of putting the ball in play and putting some runs across the plate if we are going to be competitive. If we're going to be competitive against the Brewers. And the thing about the Brewers all year was they were just so consistent. And the Cubs were winning. The Cubs were looking good. Even the second half of the season, the Cubs were winning and could not win enough to catch up at all with what the Brewers were doing up there in Milwaukee. So here we go. We got the National League Division Series coming your way starting tomorrow. I'd love to see that thing go five games. I think it'll be fantastic October baseball. During the break, we got a call from Luke in North Carolina, and Luke had an excellent addition to the conversation that I was having with Dr. Michael Langemeyer from Purdue University. And he said, listen, if you think it stinks for corn, look at what's going on with cotton. And we've talked about that on the show, and maybe not as much as what we should. But we have talked about the tough economic conditions on cotton. I always try to make a point of saying, listen, it's not just row crops. It's not just soybeans. Cotton is in there. Sorghum is in this. And Jim Wiesmeyer is especially attuned to what is happening with that in the sorghum industry. He's paying close attention there. But Luke makes a great point that cotton is doing absolutely nothing to hang on to more acres for 2026. He typically plants, I'll just say his numbers. He threw them out to me so I can throw them out to you. He typically plants 300 acres of cotton down there in North Carolina, isn't going to plant an acre of it in 2026, and every acre is going to corn. That's the first choice. As we lose more corn, as we lose more cotton acres, we're going to see more southern corn production. Luke, that's a great reminder. Thank you for calling in with that. The other thing, Luke said he's had some good news today. Actually sold some $5 cash corn. So, you know, that's another reason to go ahead and plant some corn, some additional corn acres in the year ahead. So good stuff there. The divide between livestock agriculture and crop agriculture, as we were talking about with Michael, the divergence is big. There is no question about it. And I haven't done all the math to really figure it out, whether or not the divergence is as wide as it has ever been between the two, with livestock on top and grain production, row crop production on the downside. But, you know, it might not be. When I think about some of the markets that we've seen in lean hogs, where losses just added up month after month after month. Look at what has happened in that cattle industry, and how the cycle works in the cattle industry, and how year after year after year of losses sometimes have to be absorbed by the feedlot industry or the cow-calf guys or the backgrounders or the packers. And that's the thing about this livestock industry. When you're in the row crop, hey, if corn's making money, beans are making money, wheat might be making money, cotton, who knows? All right, it's all good. Everybody's competing for acres. Let's go. But in the livestock industry, somebody's always losing money. Now, right now, it's the packer. And I'm not crying for the packers. Don't put that on me. But right now, the packers are losing money. So, and there are times when the packers are making money and the feed yards are just, you know, taking money to the dump in wheelbarrow fulls. They're losing money so fast. So I get that. But I'm just saying that in the livestock industry, at almost every point, somebody in that supply chain is losing money. It's an interesting dynamic. It's an interesting dynamic of the livestock trade, and I'm not exactly sure what that means for us. But at some point, I would assume that the packers are going to say, we surrender, and there's going to have to be some recalculation of exactly how they're going to be doing business. All right, National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is October 9th through the 13th, and yes, it is updated because right at the top of the site it says this site will remain updated during the shutdown. So it is updated for October 9th through the 13th. Above normal temperatures expected across the entire Corn Belt. Above normal precipitation expected through western Wisconsin, all of Iowa, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, northeast Nebraska. Near normal in a narrow band that goes from eastern Wisconsin and kind of swoops down to Kansas. You've got below normal precipitation expected in southern Illinois and points to the east of that. The 8 to 14 day outlook, this is for October 11th through the 17th. Above normal temperatures stick around. The precipitation pattern looks very similar. We've got above normal in the west, northwest, and below normal in the eastern Corn Belt. Hey, thank you so much for listening this afternoon and this week. Great job, Big Apple. Joe, come back on Monday morning. Machinery Pete.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At BEX, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. BEX honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, in every season.
Join us as we celebrate three decades of Commodity Classic, agriculture's largest farmer-led event, February 25th through 27th. Experience game-changing solutions, connect with thousands of forward-thinking farmers, and explore innovations from over 400 companies, all focused on powering your farm forward with efficiency and profitability. Housing and registration opens November 6th. Don't miss 30 years of agricultural excellence in the heart of Texas.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the government shutdown likely rolling into next week. The Senate failing to pass dueling stopgap measures in a vote this past hour. The Trump administration is